Technorama episode 473, Jackson Pollock paintings.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm writing a novel and I'm stuck with writer's block. Where can I go for inspiration?
Over there, in the media corner.
And 90% perspiration.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener or viewer, welcome back. We need to talk.
We need to talk.
Therapy is in your future.
Seek therapy, right? We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am quite antic tonight.
Antic?
Yes.
Is that a word?
Sure. It's a word.
I mean, there's antics, which is a noun. Is antic a verb now?
Yeah, it's like, you know, goofy.
Oh, yep, that's a goofy. No, also joining us in the binary studio is...
Oh, hey, me? Hi, I'm Michael R. Menengay. I'm running the video tonight, so if it really sucks, you know who to blame.
All right.
Because Mrs. Technorama is out on helping the little Technorama daughters go from college to summer dwellings. It's crazy around here. Also, we have a longtime guest.
Yeah, longtime guest.
Longtime guest.
All right.
Guest, yeah.
Yes, it's time for me to leave. I'm an adamant. Right.
The thing that wouldn't leave.
I think it's long-term guest, right?
I don't know. It's long-term, short-term. Who can tell these days?
Right.
It's a memory thing.
Yeah.
And special guest in the studio, faithful listener and patron...
Mike Wills, or Podcast Mike, or Mike from Minnesota. I think I used several aliases throughout the years.
The FBI is still looking for him. They're not exactly sure where he's been hiding. But we have him here
this
now.
This is live, right?
Yes, this is live. They'll be on the door anytime.
They're tracing the IP. Coming up in this episode, besides the FBI, we have... Walter Cronkite looks at the future, time-traveling politicians, and cats, cats, cats. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Poor cat.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jay Sherman. I'm glad you found me once again. I know it wasn't easy since we moved from ABC to Fox to Comedy Central, and then here... to the internet. As you can see, we aren't exactly moving up. Anyway, I've given up on reviewing movies and have moved on to reviewing the next overhyped medium. Wait for it. Podcasting. Today, let's start off with a review of Technorama. Achi Machi! This show features a couple of boneheads and self-proclaimed geeks recording their show from their basement. Bill Shatner, you were right all along. They put out material that is mildly interesting at best while trying to satisfy their overly bloated egos. Well, let me sum up this show in two low-tech words. It stinks.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
And we're starting our 12th year swinging.
It's interesting. I just rewatched that entire series a couple months ago.
Very nice.
Yeah, it took me...
What, The Critic?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the one.
Well played, Craig.
And we're done.
This happens to be recorded on May 1st, 2016, which is our 11-year anniversary.
Hey, wait a minute. Chuck, reach over and give me a high five. There we go. Something like that.
I think Jerry's kids give better high fives.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, talking about swinging. Wow.
I have nothing to do with this show. I don't leave a mark.
That's right.
Let's check for feedback. This should be easy to get feedback from White Wills today.
We get your letters every day.
No dancing in the studio, I see. There we go.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Everybody do the wave.
Oh boy!
Hey, I was trying to make some chaos for Mike to switch the video camera real quick.
Full of rush, man. There's like a half second delay, Donna tells me, that when you switch the camera, there's a little bit of a delay. So
yeah.
It's not Mike asleep at the wheel.
He'd have to be ahead of the wave.
Right. Well, Gary Lindros wrote in. He said, I heard you talking about E.T. and the Star Wars movies. Have you heard about this theory? And he points us to an article at Needorama.com, which has the side-by-sides. Craig mentioned, did you notice in, which one was it? It was one of the senatorial scenes.
The second movie? First movie?
Where Yoda's making a speech and you see the E.T. characters down in the corner. We talked about that. But I had noticed... This whole discussion came up because I recently watched E.T. E.T., when Elliot is introducing E.T. to his environment, he plays with Boba Fett and Lando, and he plays with a bunch of Star Wars characters. And, of course, the scene that I mentioned where they go out trick-or-treating, and I see Yoda walk by, and he goes, home, home, home. So,
by the way, let me note that was a kind of a creepy-looking Yoda, but yes.
It was. He looked like he was ready to slash some kids.
That was gangster Yoda.
He's got a knife. He's ready to cut some butt.
I'll lightsaber you, sucker.
Yeah.
Star Wars fans are familiar with this, but it may be new to younger folks. We don't know who put these pictures together, but they surfaced recently on Reddit. Adding to the confusion, there's the idea that although the events happening long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Star Wars saga was a documentary. I think that Jonathan Strickland refers to it as a documentary, too. But he does that on a jokingly basis. Images just took a long time to travel to Earth. E.T. was stranded on Earth 32 years ago, which means the enterprising young alien is probably a senator somewhere himself now. The E.T. / Yoda question itself was posed years ago, and at least as far back as 2006, but it may be much older. The crossovers were actually an agreement between George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. You know, cross-promotion. Mm-hmm. Also note that Senator... Greb Bleeps was named for Spielberg. Oh my goodness, I didn't even notice that. Just spell it backwards.
Yeah.
Hey, you did notice that there was also another crossover between their movies, right?
Where was that?
Well, you had Han, Indiana Jones Solo in both movies. And come on.
That's called Harrison Ford getting a job. Right. Acting, buddy. Your agent is working.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the feedback we have this time. But if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email. Technorama@chuckchat.com, Facebook page, comments, you name it. And the new number. Yes.
Wait a minute. Oh, go ahead and say, give them the number.
707-530-CHAT. Don't get slapped like Robin in today's meme.
What I was going to suggest, you were talking about Star Wars being a documentary.
Yes.
I can't remember if we brought it up on the show, but recently there was a discussion about a quote from George Lucas that said, it's all told from the, it's like R2-D2 retelling the Star Wars story. It's like he's the one telling the story, so to speak, because he never got mind wiped. He has the whole theory. So basically Star Wars is being told by R2-D2.
Okay, Craig, roll for initiative. Tim and I got a 12. Mike got an 8.
All right.
We're doing the history thing. Mike gets a pass.
All right. Where's
he probably even
dice.
Brought the right glasses tonight.
And I did.
Yeah. So did I.
Here, I'm about to roll my lucky dice, which I've had for about 30 years. It's never failed me.
Uh-huh.
One.
A one? I got a 14.
A 14. All right. Craig leads it off, and then we'll go Craig, Chuck, Tim, Mike. We'll swing around this way.
There you go.
I'm not into swinging.
Never mind. I just had an old song pop into my head. Let's do the music. Start us off, Craig.
This is the 124th day of the year. They got Gregorian calendar in
there. You didn't say what day it was. I can't even count on him to do on this day in history.
I was actually going to fix that. So on this day in history for May 4th, may the 4th be with you, 2016. This is the 124th day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 241 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 1626 that Dutch explorer Peter Minuit arrives in the Netherlands. I'll just keep working at it till I get it.
He's Alaskan. He's a Minuit.
He arrives in the New Netherlands, present day Manhattan Island, aboard the Sea Mew.
Meow.
Meow.
240 years ago today, Rhode Island becomes the first American colony to renounce the allegiance to King George III. I think they gave him they flipped him the bird.
That's right. The Cornwall Railway opens across Royal Albert Bridge, linking the counties of Devon and Cornwall in England 157 years ago today.
Where am I? Oh. Also today, in 1904, the United States begins construction of the Panama Canal.
Woohoo! Woo. The ball's Chuck? In your court, Craig.
Chuck.
No.
You're not going to read one?
It's your turn again. I did.
You did.
Oh, you did?
I did, okay. Rhode Island.
He's not paying attention. it's confusing him, you know.
He can't on do it without lapse. The roll indicator thing.
Just okay. Okay.
Have you done this Shut show up. Before?
11 years, and this is what we get.
Yeah, that's right. 112 years ago today, Charles Stuart Rolls meets Frederick Henry Royce at the Midland Hotel in Manchester, England.
Let's call and it what the they, Charles what they and met Frederick about, Company.
They met and had a drink 112 years ago today.
They formed a magazine. That didn't work out, so they went into the automotive industry. May 4th, 1932, Atlanta mobster Al Capone begins serving an 11-year prison sentence for
tax evasion.
Also, today in 1953, Ernest Hemingway wins the Pulitzer Prize for The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh, applause for saying it right. Pulitzer. Yes, it's not Pulitzer.
Pulitzer?
No.
No, it doesn't stink.
There you go.
Even I wouldn't say it that way.
That same date in 1959, the first annual Grammy Awards were held.
And a lot of people miss Technorama for watching that.
That's right. Yeah. Now, Malcolm Ross and Victor Prather attain a new altitude record for manned balloon flight, ascending in the Stratolab 5 open gondola to 113,740 feet. That's 334.67 kilometers 55 years ago today.
I sure hope they had oxygen in an open gondola.
And a sweater.
They passed out at 67,000 feet, but no one really noticed.
Luckily, it started to standing.
That same date in 1979, Margaret Thatcher becomes the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom.
And also today in 1988, the PepCon disaster rocks Henderson, Nevada, as tons of space shuttle fuel detonated during a fire.
Wow. I don't remember that very distinctly.
Nope.
I don't either.
It was 18 years ago today that a federal judge in Sacramento, California gives Unabomber Theodore
Kaczynski
4 life sentences plus 30 years after Kaczynski accepts a plea agreement sparing him from the death penalty.
Unabomber.
Yep. Yeah. Unabomber. Mr. Unabomber. And he was all about, he loved technology, didn't he?
Oh, he loved it.
I think he was your number one fan.
Yeah, his cabin
he doesn't call me. Us anymore for some reason. It's birthday time, Craig.
That's right. That's right. It's my turn. Happy birthday goes out on this date to the man who invented the piano, Bartolomeo
Cristofori.
Yeah, that was him. 1655.
You can call him Bart Chris.
Bart Chris.
Also born May 4th, 1733, French mathematician, physicist, and sailor Jean-Charles Bordeaux de Borda.
I hope. Sure, something like that.
Canadian trumpet player and band leader Maynard Ferguson was born today in 1928.
The actor who played Principal Vernon in The Breakfast Club, Paul Gleason, was born on this date in 1939.
He passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the Jackson Five, Jackie Jackson, is 65.
That's the normal one, right?
Yeah.
I always wonder who would name their kid the first name and the last name the same thing.
Oh, it happens.
It's like Boutros Ghali or right. Tommy Thompson. We got Jackie Jackson. Okay. That's just cruel and unusual. Actress Pia Zadora is 63.
Oh.
And the final birthday, astronaut and engineer Michael R. Gernhardt is 60.
But there's some holidays today, too.
There are also several holidays today. According to the United Nations, it's Anti-Bullying Day.
Stop picking on me.
Good for us.
We'll stop picking on Craig today. Just be nice.
Good for me. It's also the International Firefighters Day.
Oh, and I get the good one. Of course, May 4th. Is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. I even replaced the batteries in the lightsaber just for this show.
Nice.
That's the way it was on this day in history for May 4th, 2016. Look at that. And we did the music right, too. After all the jocularity.
May the 4th is the only day in the year that he puts batteries in his lightsaber.
It's like changing the smoke alarms. That's right.
Did you remember the alarms? No, but I sure got my lightsaber working.
Yeah, lightsaber's refreshed.
Be sure to see a doctor if you remain illuminated for more than four hours.
Oh, not with my wife out of town. Thanks.
Oh, great news, everyone.
The news is we have a presidential candidate that apparently claims to have traveled through time.
Really?
Oh, yes.
You tell.
Okay. If the current front runners in this year's presidential race, because I know we're all so politically inclined here.
Yes.
This is a U.S. election year, so bear with us. We normally don't get into the politics on this show. We try to stay away from it. But because this had a Technorama slant, we are introducing you to this new candidate. If the current front runners don't appeal to you, perhaps you'd like to really think outside the box. And we mean outside the box. Seattle lawyer Andrew Basiago is also running for president as an independent, and he cites his extensive experience traveling through time as one of his strongest qualifications for office. That's right! A candidate for the highest office in the land is self-professed time traveler.
Really?
Chrononaut.
Chrononaut!
I love that term. Who used his access to this secret technology to advise past presidents. He also claims to have teleported to Mars in the 1980s, along with young Barack Obama, who naturally is part of a government cover-up to keep
without a spacesuit because they didn't need one.
Well, to be fair, I mean, who hasn't teleported
to
Mars?
True.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
Yawn. You do that all the time.
Been there, done that. He's got the Mars t-shirt. Oh, that was last week. And Basiago swears he's going to win. Quote, I have prior knowledge that not only, this is my favorite, not only will I run for president, but that during one of the elections, which would have to be between 2016 and 2028, because I'm not running past that, I'm either elected president or vice president. If you're a time traveler, how do you not know when you
got exactly. You should know exactly to the day and the minute. Because if it's wrong, you're going to just go back and adjust it.
And the post.
Oh, you can't know too much into the future.
Oh, wait a minute.
No one should have some issues. Wait a minute.
I disagree with you. If he has not gone in the past and done this already, he wouldn't know he had done this and where he got.
No, he's been to the future.
No, because he could go, but...
If he had not in the past.
He's playing his Time Lord card that no one should know too much about their own future.
I see. Okay.
There we go. That's
just not sure which of the million time travel movies that we're referencing.
Yeah. It's a new one called President Time Lord.
Well, President Chrononaut.
I'm trying to figure out who he looks like.
He looks like a newscaster to me.
I know. Yeah.
You know who he looks like? He looks like the guy from the Burger King commercials who's the politician.
Oh.
If you've seen them. If you watch them where they talk about the chicken nuggets or whatever.
Oh, he just kind of goes, oh, chicken.
And that's really what he does in the commercial. Hilarious. It's really what it looks like.
You know what'd be funny is if actually we all of a sudden with this information, you go back and look at like meetings with old presidents and he's like sitting there shaking their hand.
No, you see, he's among his highlights of Basiago's time travel exploits, hearing Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address firsthand when he traveled back to 1863 at the tender age of 10, because he was part of a 1960s experiment where they used to send children on time travel. Now, if you read on through the article, there's two ways you can witness these events. One is either live by physically being there, or they have this other technology called Chronovision. That works more like a hologram or magic mirror, enabling you to connect with a time or place without physically being present.
I'm sorry. I've seen this already on Fringe. The time viewer. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Walter invented this.
Look, there's Zeppelins.
It. Yeah, exactly. There's Zeppelins. That's how you know that you're in the alternate reality is the Zeppelins, you know. That's
Led funny. Zeppelin was really big in the alternate reality.
They were very big.
Chrono nut is what I would call it.
By the way, when he mentioned he had been teleported to Mars, my first thing was, oh, well, we're talking about John Carter here.
There you go.
Or John Bell.
John Bell. That's right.
Turning to the listener birthday calendar, we have several birthdays this week. Again, most of them on the same day. Joe Machowski. Oh, my. I hope I did that right. Host of On the Podcast. It's the Polish names I have trouble with.
He was the host of On the Podcast.
It's no longer there. Okay. Former host of, is that kind of like the artist formerly known as Prince? Too soon?
Too soon.
May 6th has three birthdays. Amber Pace, not really a listener, but mother and wife of listeners. Oh, okay. Secondhand Technorama can be dangerous to your mental health.
So I have family who has friends who know some people who have possibly listened to Technorama. Can I get them in there?
We have anniversaries in here. We have pets anniversaries. This is more than a birthday calendar. It's an event.
It's more like a spousal reminder of birthday coming up.
Yeah. Hey, kids. Your mom, Amber, it's her birthday coming up. Yeah, or something. That's right. May 6th is also Bill Barber, Steve Bickle. Happy birthday to you. And rounding out our birthday calendar this week, May. We're into May now. Curtis Parrish is May 8th. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it is your birthday and you didn't make it to the calendar, happy birthday also from all of us. We appreciate you listening. We wish you were on the calendar. You can get there by going to chuckchat.com/wiki. And get your name on there, even if it's in the next time millennia thing. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. We'll give you a shout-out. That was the worst way to work in the other article I have ever tried. Okay. Oh, we need a birthday song.
There you go.
Bastard.
I just felt like it was time for that. We've got like 9 other 8-bit songs, but we got to roll that one in every once in a while. Yes. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with the Hacks of Strange Stories and a Remember When and some thoughts from who knows where. Hang on. We'll be right back.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friend.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig with Technorama. Did I say that right? Where's my money? You say you give me $10. Now get out of here.
All right, where are we going? What's next? Hacks and Strange Stories. That's right.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hey, Hacks and Strange, strange Stories?
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
That's right.
Up first, oh, the hover bike. I saw this story, and I was hoping Craig would put it in here. Craig was our editor this week. He got to select from the millions of stories we peruse every week. We culled the herd down to just a few precious items. And
speaking of culling, we'll have to clean out that Evernote folder.
Yeah.
Like we have thousands of messages in there.
It's the cloud storage. Deal with it. Yeah. It's not my server.
Anyway, I watch this guy on YouTube all the time.
Yeah.
He's always making some really cool stuff.
He's not even an inventor or an engineer. He's a plumber.
He's a plumber.
Right. Yeah.
Tim, would you care to read the story?
Absolutely. If anyone wants to know when the future arrived, tell them April 28th, 2016. That's when British inventor, plumber, Colin Firth.
Tell the presidential candidate.
Yes. Unveiled a gas-powered hover bike that chopped up a presidential candidate. Oh, no, that manages to do at least the most basic requirement of something of that name. It actually gets off the ground. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. The landing is the hard part.
Yeah. It's amazing considering Furze is a plumber, not an engineer, and he has never created any kind of flying machine previously. However, Furze has become a YouTube star thanks to a series of other crazy inventions, including a rocket-powered baby stroller, or pram.
Nice.
If you search for rocket pram, you'll find it. Real-life Wolverine claws, which are fantastic.
Yeah, those are good.
And a thermite launcher.
Oh, he's the one who made the thermite launcher.
Yes.
That guy's crazy.
That was just insane. A week or so ago. That was nuts.
Yeah. That's a good way to get some lawsuits.
Yeah.
And as you said, it looks like a lot of fun, but it's not perfect by any means. The hover bike doesn't steer in a straight line. It just spins around, and landing is a challenge. You more kind of just drop it and jump.
Get off. Right. Yeah. Run for your lives.
It took him 4 or 5 weeks to build a prototype. He needed 4 flying sessions before he got the hang of it, he told Mashable. It's all on getting the engines running the same speed and how you position yourself. So
this reminds me of early helicopter test flights. And he's not even wearing a helmet.
No. Well, I mean, really, when you see the thing, you know, he's got these safety cages kind of over the top of it.
Right.
They're 4 inches above the propellers. So the safety cages really do nothing other than keep you from accidentally moving.
If you look closely at the picture, I saw that too. There is a sort of a skirt that hangs down a few more inches.
No, you know what it is? It's 22 mil Lexan.
Oh, is that?
And it's cut. It's about 5 inches long and wrapped around the edge.
And it looks like it shatters on impact.
It does. It's a little Lexan sheet.
If it catches the ground, then you know that propeller could go anywhere.
Well, and if you watch the build video, and I suggest really go through and watch the build video. He goes through several iterations and the crashing and all that. And he's broken 5'10" props during the whole thing. It's absolutely outstanding. Popular Mechanics says the U.S. Army is trying to develop its own hover bikes. It remains to be seen whether the military is inspired by Furze's contraption or just scared to death.
However, military won't touch it.
Pentagon officials might be convinced when they see the end of Furze's video where he shoots off the fireworks while in the air. That's one of his big things.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that watch the full video, man. It is awesome.
Are the fireworks pinwheel?
You know,
no, it's like one of the missile launcher things. Oh. So he's at night. He's got a blue light, you know, hover bike thing going off, and it's shooting fireworks off into the distance.
He made a big pinwheel on fireworks.
Yeah.
Too.
That was awesome. If you could get those motors synchronized just right.
Exactly.
With the right controllers. I mean, if the military did pick this up, it would, because you can fly a stealth bomber has no tail. It has no ailerons. It's just a wing.
Yes.
Yet computers fly the thing. It. If you could stabilize this with computers, this has real sci-fi potential. But you see getting up on one of these things? Just go, whee!
So in the video, he says, yeah, he says,
the problem.
He says, yeah, this is the scariest thing ever. It's got no brakes, no seat, and 2 throttles.
On or off. It's cool that he's done this, but there is another one, the other guy out there that did the scale model one of these that's building the bigger one that he's doing as quad.
Yeah.
So it will actually have 4 blades on it. That, I think, has more potential because it's going to be a much more stable platform.
Yeah.
However, he has the problem with power issues.
Yeah, and well, and he's already, they've already got the guy who's built his own hoverboard.
Yeah,
and
the,
it is
the rocket one.
No,
jet one is fantastic.
It's a quadcopter. It is a quadcopter hover. Actually,
oh, I haven't just seen
in
that
the last couple of weeks.
It's an octo. Like a, I'm sorry, it's an octocopter.
Well, you've seen one, right? The jet pack. That's pretty cool. The jet pack hover.
The octocopter. He gets about 11 minutes of flight time with it.
Right. I saw that one too. Yeah.
That just looks,
that has the eight around it.
If you can kind of stay on it, just I wonder how long Colin can stay in the air. I mean, like,
it's all about balance.
All things being equal, and it didn't just tip over. How long he can? How much air time he could get?
He's got gas powered things. He's got to have some tanks on it that'll last a while.
Well, he's got, from the looks of the video, he has a small, looks like a 1-quart gas tank that was just halfway filled up.
And there's an engine on both ends.
It's two engines. So one's upside down so that he gets the counter rotating propellers. Otherwise,
well, that was smart.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just spin into giant exactly circles. It. Yeah.
He learned something from Sikorsky, apparently.
And so
if something happens, he'll get a nice spiral cut in his torso.
Yes. Or it just makes a good lawn trimmer.
Hey, I'll tell you something. I was watching the first video when he was doing some proof of concept, and he had the engine sitting there with a prop, and he had like a sort of cover over it so he didn't cut himself.
Yeah.
But he was turning it on inside his little tiny shop. His shop's probably not, 12 by 12, or maybe a little bit. I mean, it's not very big.
We have convicts who have more space.
And he's putting weights on top of it to see how much weight the motor can handle. And then you see him on it. I'm like, what are you doing? He's putting like water buckets on it, trying to weigh it down.
Yeah, he's got to do weight tests.
Yeah.
You certainly don't want to sit on this thing and have it take off into the stratosphere.
Well, I'm saying he's doing it in the confines of his little shop. Which is not much bigger than a shed.
Well, I think the big takeaway on all of this is that there are so many people that are trying to perfect this right now. We've got to be getting really close to something viable coming from all of these people that are working at it. Because, I mean, if you look back, how many people were trying to build airplanes at the time, you know, before the airplanes took off? Automobiles, the same thing. They worked with steam and electric and before the gas engine came in. So, I mean, we're in the beginning stages of this. But I'm expecting to see something really, really cool very soon.
It's also interesting to see people who aren't in that industry make an impact. Somebody, a plumber.
Right.
Yeah. So he comes in with a fresh perspective.
He's not just cunning
new
ghosts.
Ideas. Right.
He does that on his spare time.
Well, we really do live in the age where you can go and learn any skill by sitting in front of your computer for about 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and you look at where I'm at, I'm working in the tech industry, and I suddenly decided that I wanted to learn how to build furniture. And so I've spent the last year and a half going through every single bit of stuff that would have been 15, 20 years of apprenticeship 30 or 40 years ago.
True.
And if I get bored with that, I can go do welding or, you know, biotechnology or glass blowing. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get all the skills you need off of YouTube and videos and internet.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I learned basic plumbing and electricity from the Time Life book series.
Well, don't laugh, but that was actually before we had this reference, this resource that is the internet, the Oracle that knows everything. Yep. That's exactly what you did.
Right.
You ordered the Time Life books on woodworking.
Right.
And, well,
that
I
was the alpha
them.
Version. Yeah,
I owned the Time Life series on electrical, on electric, on doing electrical wiring.
Start that's your series with basic legal.
How I started doing electrical work.
And liability.
Hey, move on to surgery at home.
Self-surgery. Hey, but I'm curious, since I've always thought the internet, the good part of it is just what you said. It's the dissemination of knowledge. So how much is it, do you think the internet's helped mankind as a whole?
Oh, it's the Gutenberg press of our age.
Ooh,
I would say it's even. I'd go so far as to say it's had an even larger impact.
Yeah, I would too.
If you go and you actually look in some of the developing nations, South America, Africa, areas like that, just the availability of cell phone networking has given them tremendous economic reach that they never would have had without the ability to basically contact people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something where you had problems with shipping, you know, and getting that information around in the age of the Gutenberg press. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the best part about the internet is everybody has a voice that's just as loud as everybody else's.
We had the Gutenberg press, but we needed Amazon to help distribute.
Exactly.
Now we can order books.
And the worst part about the internet is everybody has a voice that is exactly the same volume as everybody else's.
It's, right. You really bring the citizen aspect into it.
It is.
At this point, which is huge. It's a leveler.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, good point. Good point. All right, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip over another invention story. Very interesting about a French engineer who takes old junkers and creates them into electric cars. But we're going to go to our next story, which harkens to the movie Up. Mike, would you care? You want to read? You don't have to. I'm putting him on the spot
here.
I
can try.
Okay. It's a pretty short article.
Go for it. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
And I will translate in cat.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, I should have put that sweeper in this week. Dang.
Convinced that when your cat meows, it's truly trying to tell you something? Now there's a 3D printed talking cat collar that can pick up Fluffy's varied vocalizations and translate them via an app on your smartphone.
No.
Yes, just like the one.
I do not like the cone of shame.
It's called the Catterbox, and it's the creation of the feline-friendly folks at Temptations Lab, a division of Temptation Cat Treats.
There's the angle.
There it is. So there's a default in there that automatically goes to I'm hungry. I need treats. I need treats from this company.
I don't need a translator to know that that's what Todd's saying all the time.
Right. I was going to say that isn't that normal?
Yeah. Why am I not eating now?
Right. My bowl is a half an inch down.
I like the quote. We believe that if people understood cats better, they'd see just how awesome they really are. Studies have shown that adult cats meow when talking to humans. They don't talk that way to each other.
No.
They don't meow at each other, which is interesting. We've analyzed these cat sounds and created a program that detects the cat's meow and matches it to human voice. We then put this technology inside a sleek 3D printed collar, which connects seamlessly to our app where you can choose your cat's new voice.
Right. So we can translate that to, we took an engineer who knows 3D modeling into the room, smoked a bowl with him, and here's what came out.
With our Arduino or a Raspberry Pi.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a crowdfunded thing. So it's not an actual product yet. If you watch the video.
I got seven cats. When I read the title for this, I went, oh, hell no. I don't need my cats walking around talking.
Right.
And then they start.
But they'll never get sleep.
But here's the interesting thing about this is that they could actually, if this gets made and you get a household full of multiple cats, they start using that? Can they actually have, that would be an interesting test of intelligence, wouldn't it?
I'm serious.
If they start having conversations through the collar with each other, that's freaky. That's mind blowing.
Like I said, with seven cats, that would be funny for 5 minutes. I'd rip them off.
Yeah. You'd have one going, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. You'd have the other one going, frack you.
I can see it telling my wife, do you know what Craig did? No, rip it off.
Just wait till you're asleep.
It failed. It didn't work.
You humans, put your clothes back on. You have no fur.
I have no fur.
Shout out to the chat room. We do this show live every night. Every night. Every Sunday night.
Every night.
Every night. Wow.
We never leave.
Every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. And we'd love to see you on the live stream. Just go to bit.ly/technoramalive. I can't read the links tonight.
Do you know who's in the chat room?
Who's in the chat room?
Your wife.
Checking up on you, Chuck. Making sure
I fed the cats.
Make sure you fed the cats.
It's all right. They'll just tell on you when she gets home.
That's right. They have the collar now.
Is she really? Is that real? Or are you just yanking my
chain? Donna Tomasi.
Hi, honey. I'm being good. I have friends over. I'm not socially starved tonight. We were out on the patio before the show, and we were going to make a new sketch. I can't reveal the premise yet, but we have a good one coming. We're going to save it to air it when Craig gets here. on the show on the 22nd.
Yes.
It is the next phase in Amazon technology.
The outdoor patio, the incubator of great and bad ideas combined.
And beer.
And beer.
Patio incubator.
Yes.
Let's do the Remember When thing, because we have Remember on this day in history. Who remembers Walter Cronkite?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How could you not?
Walter did a video in 1967 about life in the 21st century. I only made it about halfway through this 25-minute video, and this begs for Mystery Science Theater, in my opinion.
I watched it.
It's one of those retro future things where people are predicting what's going to happen 33 years in the future.
It looks like the opening to Barbarella.
It's got other interesting things. He talks about some of the things that are very pertinent to the time, like urban sprawl has caused everybody's house to look the same. We all have the cardboard cookie cutter houses where everybody dreams of having a cottage with lots of land and a pond. That's not going to happen. But I only got up to the part where they're talking to architects and saying, well, this is the way we're going to build houses in the future.
Oh, he's got the 1960s orange furniture.
That's right. Straight out of James Bond.
Outstanding.
Hey, you know what was funny was he mentioned the making apartments that were like puzzles almost. You can piece them together.
Yes. And, well, it looks like he got into some computer stuff, too. Is this where you can order your newspaper online?
So wait a minute. So they're talking about this urban sprawl problem, and then... And he immediately starts talking about having your own second house. A lot of people have their own second house with a pond, like you said. I was like, well, so they've got two houses now.
Yeah. Because that'll help urban sprawl. Yeah.
I have a house with a pond. It's called a swimming pool. It's the cement pond.
Yeah, cement pond. But I like how he's demonstrating the printer and he's having to pull the paper out.
Yeah, I'm looking. There's like this huge teletype in the kitchen.
Yeah. How come I didn't have a teletype in my kitchen?
Well, you still can.
And you had that like Christmas garland across there to keep the static down.
Yep.
Well, you know, some things they were kind of spot on with the home entertainment center, because it was, I don't know about the Globe speakers, but
oh, yeah, God, we got it's an early microwave oven.
I was going to say it's an early replicator.
Well, he was talking about inflatable furniture.
Oh, the inflatable furniture. Everybody's favorite lounge chair will someday be inflatable.
My wife would kill me if I said, hold on, I get you a seat.
Let me get the air compressor real quick.
We got company. What else was it?
Oh, the Amfair system / Orbis.
Orbis.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
And place order. There's a big dash button from Amazon here. Place order, right?
Place order. Food, that was the other thing. Not having time to cook, and you know, the machine would cook for you, and it showed some machine pushing hamburgers out or something.
Japan has that.
Yum. Yeah.
That's called McDonald's.
And they referenced Japan when they were talking about the housing.
Because Japan is way ahead of us on the future.
Yeah, just look at their toilet.
I love the architecture, though. That's
like right out of the Thunderbirds.
It is.
That's the Jetsons.
Yeah. It was a spear set.
No, yeah, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
I guess I was thinking about all the changes they thought were going to happen. And, you know, other than some things like, hey, we can hang a TV on our wall, like they told us when we were kids. Has life really changed that much?
Yes.
This one looks like it's right out of The Walking Dead.
No, wait a minute. I'm saying things like, are you looking around your house? You still got couches, you got chairs and tables and... You know, it's nothing's what's significantly changed. I'm not talking about like technology, like cell phones.
When was the last time you went out to a bar with a group of friends and had a debate for 9.5 hours over beers about whether or not somebody starred in a movie?
Started a what?
Starred in a movie.
You don't debate anymore. You just look up the answer.
Just look it up on the internet. Yeah.
Friday night?
Bar bets are completely dead now.
Or taking it one step further. There used to be the coffee shops in the old days were these cigar and liquor libraries. Men would get together in these clubs and talk about mathematics, science.
Mm-hmm.
Where your political revolutions were launched.
Right.
It's everything. That's now Facebook.
Yeah. Seriously.
I know that sounds silly and all that. It's Facebook is for cats and political revolution.
Except for, I don't know about the revolution part. It's more like confusion and anger.
And annoyance. No,
and I mean, if we're going down this whole thing, I mean, not to go too far down the political side of things, but have things changed? Yeah, somebody like Bernie Sanders never, ever would have had a chance 20 years ago to get anywhere close to the presidency that he did this year through Facebook.
Or Trump. Even,
or Trump. Yeah, or well, Trump. Trump, no, Trump had, Trump was a billionaire and had the political
No,
reach.
Because he's an outsider.
No, but he also owns television studios.
Oh, well, that's true.
Sanders
he
doesn't.
Had a reality show.
That's true.
And Trump had the money to be able to purchase the influence.
Yeah, okay.
Sanders
I'll give you
didn't
that.
Have to do that. Well, it was all done through grassroots.
The other thing about Trump is we've known about him since, what, the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So, you know.
It's not like he's new.
But yeah, have things changed? Stuff like that has changed a lot. And you, it's the change is subtle enough that mm-hmm. you and I look at it and go, yeah, stuff really hasn't changed all that much. But if you go back and take one of our kids, for example, and put yep. them back in the 1980s, I doubt they'd be able to survive.
Oh, hell. Right. We were just talking about it. I mean, there before the internet, before the oracle of everything that is available at our fingertips, yep. I mean, the amount of research that you had to do in order to do anything uh-huh. back in my day, in our
yep.
day,
yep.
I mean, not I don't have a exclusive on it, but I mean, go back to the 80s, go back to the 70s, before Windows 95. I mean,
something as simple as did you want to fix your garage door opener?
Right.
Yeah.
Where did you go for that? You had to call an
expert.
Look in the
you had to call somebody that knew something
go to
about it,
or you figure out yourself.
Yeah. Now you go out. On YouTube, watch a 5-minute video, go, okay, I can fix that.
Or you get
you had
a hold
to go
of
to the Sears.
You call your exactly. You call your uncle because he fixed his garage door once with baling wire right. and some fishing with fishnet, and he did it. So he's now the expert in the family that knows how to do it.
I call Mike and say, "What kind of garage door did you sell me?"
Hey, by the way, I was bringing up the idea that I didn't think some things had changed a whole lot, and I wasn't some of the lifestyle stuff like you were talking about, Tim. Yeah, I totally agree. I'm talking like. Some of the things that Walter Cronkite was pointing out,
like what?
Like the inflatable, I mean, the kitchen, you don't really need a kitchen and that kind of stuff anymore in the future.
Gotcha.
No, like, I know what stuff. You're talking about. It's why the tiny house movement has gotten such a gigantic boom because mm-hmm. people have realized that you don't need 2,000 square feet when you can, if 500 has the essentials of where you basically live inside of your house. Most people spend most of their time in the kitchen, in the bathroom, on the couch in front of their TV, and occasionally they wander in and basically surf on the internet, you know. But mm-hmm. you don't need 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 rooms to do that. You
Speak
only
for
need
yourself.
A couple. Well, okay. I'm with right. you.
And the guards I'm come still... along and you get to go in the exercise yard for 2 hours.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you. I'm still from that age, but a lot of people are realizing that they can do everything they need with less. And that sure. this minimalistic movement is great. It's a great movement. It's got some interesting things to it. I think the romance of it is better than the reality of uh-huh. it. I'm sure.
With the small house?
With those tiny houses. Living yeah. in 300 square feet, 400 square feet. Some of these people are living in 200 square feet. That's like a size of a good double closet. Yeah, that sounds all really romantic until you do it.
No, but and to your point, Craig, it's more a fact of as things change, you're looking at Walter Cronkite basically taking these futurists' ideas, right? And sure. what are they all looking at? They're looking at, you know, all of these bizarre things that everybody would think based on current technology. Oh, we've got microwaves and, you know, it's this new thing where, you know, you'll never have to cook again. And, you know,
right.
nobody, you don't see the dramatically futuristic, crazy stuff like the internet because it is so far off the beaten path. I'll talk with people right now and say, yeah, I don't think there's anything these days that we would look at and say, oh my God, that's magic. You know, yeah. because I mean, even if someone mm-hmm. were to turn around and say, oh yeah, you know, I teleported this thing from here to across the room, all of us could sit here and reason out some sort of physical phenomenon that would do that. So even us sitting here, 50 years from now, we'll be looking at this and we will have all of our futuristic predictions be just as wrong as Walter Cronkite, because what will come out 50 right. years from now will be so revolutionary and life-changing that we just can't envision it.
Never thought of you had a computer in your hand.
Oh, exactly.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot of power in this little device that this is beyond Star Trek imagination.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dick Tracy. Go back to Dick Tracy. I mean, that was the 60s. And that was a radio walkie-talkie wristwatch. It was a walkie-talkie.
You just look at your cell phone. There's more computing power in a three-year-old cell phone than in all of the space vehicles NASA has made combined.
Right.
Hey, we got more computing power in my pocket than Walter Cronkite showed, and film the thing, and produce the titles.
Right. Absolutely right.
And the Wrestling Network.
Yeah. See, I could film this whole thing right now, put titles on it, and upload it to YouTube.
Their cut and paste was literally with scissors and glue. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We are running a little short on time, but I don't want to go without saying thank you to our patrons. We need our special patron music. This show is brought to you by you, the patrons. One of them sitting just to my left. Thank you.
Everybody wave at him.
It's not Kyle Nishioka. It's Mike Wills. Yay! And Steve Therrien and Saturday Morning Media and Chad D and Alexis Duran and Ben Vaughn and Dennis Patton. Out. I'm beginning to feel like Romper Room now. And
Bumper
I see
Stomper.
Bumper do. Tell me. And we just dated ourselves terribly. I see Chad D and I see Alexis Duran. That lady was high. And Nick St. Gabriel. And I am not holding up a mirror with the glass missing to do this either. But thank you very much to you. It means a lot. And you help keep our show going and fund our little adventures as we go. Craig and me and Ben and Keith are still planning on going to the Lowell Observatory on the 21st.
Cool.
And get what we can there. For a minute, I thought it was all going to be scrapped because they said, are you going to be recording anything? I went, uh-oh. What does that mean? I said, yes. For our listeners, is that all right? They said, oh, yeah, that's fine. We just wanted to know. I'm like, oh, whew, good. Oh. Yeah. Yep. And they were kind enough to give us a pass on the payment, which saves us a whole bunch of money too, so we can direct that elsewhere. Yes.
So they're patrons too.
Yeah, they are. We'll give them a special Uber Duber shout out on that. Right. The question is, how late are we going to stay there? Because our tour is from like 10:30 in the morning to about 11:30, and then we're free to partake in all of the other public displays, which is going to be fun in itself. And then there's observing at night, so it could be a really long day, and then drive back from Flagstaff, which we all know how 17 gets on the night.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Dark. Very dark.
Dark and crowded.
Yes.
So, looking forward to that. We will fend off the traffic.
Hey, not driving.
You're not. I am.
Have you looked into Uber?
Uber from Flag. It doesn't get you there any quicker in a traffic jam. That doesn't help.
We need a hover bike.
There you go. Yeah, at night. Over Arizona.
On the 17.
This just gets
better every minute.
I think I'll take the time-traveling politician at this point for 10, Alex. So we encourage you to go to the show notes. We did skip over a couple things in the interest of time, but our question of the week for you is, what evolutionary step is humankind desperately in need of?
Intelligence?
Thanks, Craig.
No, I'm not going there. I just had this conversation. You can probably find it if you look for it.
After show.
Let's keep it clean, guys.
Facebook? Save for Facebook. We want to hear from you. Let us know. 707-530-CHAT.
Asexual reproduction?
That could be good for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I know you skipped over this, but I just want to say something.
Yes.
I know Mike's really excited still about the SpaceX landing on the barge.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the 360 video with the Google Cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. It was like I was standing right on the deck and I'm looking around going, oh, this is kind of cool. And you see there's
a rocket going to land.
And all of a sudden you could kind of hear it. And I had my headphones on.
And it's getting louder. Weird.
And all of a sudden I looked up and there it was coming down. That was freaky. I would definitely go check that out.
I've been wanting to do the Google Cardboard thing. I'm about ready.
I mean, you know, all so right. Yeah, it's a free mine.
Very cool. All right. Thank you very much, listener, for joining us. We got to bring up the ending music.
Hey, yes? Thank you, listener, for joining us, Mike.
Our listener is in the audience. Yep.
Only one.
I'm here.
That's the listener. So we don't need to post this, right?
Nope. Right. We
yeah, just
we just get, we just did the show live for him.
Yeah. We'll burn the CD.
Just give him the USB stick on the way out.
Yeah, it's faster that way.
it's instant gratification. Show up and you get the show the same night.
Instant gratification.
Instant gratification is best gratification.
No, no one's going to listen to
that. We have that already.
Hey, is that like Sneakernet RSS? Yeah.
I thought that's what one of the S's stood for. Really, yeah. Sneaky sneakers.
That's right.
Find us on the web. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Give me a high five, Craig.
101.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?